Mr. Chelney, riddle two. You were telling me about the arrival of the food parcel and what you were going to do
with
it.
Well, it was kicked in and it was on the floor and I was very hungry. And all of them, there must have been about 40 or 60 of them, were equally hungry and they never had such parcels. So I said, the only way I can survive here, because otherwise if I just took it and sat next to it and didn't allow them to eat it, they would have murdered me. And the Germans wouldn't mind at all. So I said, who is the eldest of you all? Now take that parcel and divide it equally so that every one of these people has a little bit. They did it. So I had a tiny piece of sausage of some sort, I remember, and that's all. Anyway, next morning, we went downstairs. There was a strong detachment of German army police. They also served Gestapo very well. Who surrounded us, and we were marched through Tarnów, which is quite a large town, to the main railway station. The railway station, we were stood up there, not given anything to drink or drink for a day and a night. I remember at that time the Hungarians were allies with the Germans. The train rolled in just a few meters from us, stopped there, and quite smart Hungarian officers were saying, "Who are you? Who are you? What are you doing here?" Say that in German. So I didn't dare to say it out loud. Crept to the mirror and I said, "We are Poles." "Why are the people? What are they doing to you?" I said, "Well, just watch it, because they're your allies." It was enough, and then they took us on a train. And the rest is described in my book how we traveled and we did regular notes. And then finally, we landed in Auschwitz.
What were your first impressions of Auschwitz?
Oh, it was at night when we were marched from the station. And if you can imagine, rather flat grounds around Auschwitz. There were some few houses. And you saw this whole outline, because all the Auschwitz was surrounded by the
barbed wire?
Barbed wire. And the barbed wire was lit by night. And at night, I remember it was an eerie sort of view. We were marching there, but the road was horrible. And they were kicking us. They were always taking the guards, whether they were ordinary Wehrmacht, or they were the same. I was a du langer Hund.
Dog.
Dog. It was my flat, my mind, this. I was always too tall for them, and they always took it out of me. Anyway, we came into Auschwitz, and it was all lit. They saw that famous Arbeit macht frei thing for the first time. And again, there was the du langer Hund and the kick in their pants and this and that. And oh, we will soon get rid of you. The local SS. We were in the hands of the SS. And the next morning they started, we weren't allowed to sleep, they started dividing us into blocks. And again, I'm describing, trying to describe it in my book. And luckily, some of the ordinary members of the underground, we were in a sort of special block which was quarantined. We had to be there for a few days so that they, you know, went. And we could stand. We had to watch that the SS were not marching around early in the morning or late at night. And they had this counting of everybody. And people who were from the same organization kept sort of walking by and saying, looking there. I was at that sort of level. Oh, you are Dr. Jonas, and where is your father? Because the people from the same organization were there, I said before. I said, don't worry, don't worry. Don't go on the... don't do anything against what the... don't oppose them. Do exactly what you want. We will take, take care of you. And they was assigned to one of the worst commandos, they call it, which was pushing these little wooden or steel wagons up a hill. Could you imagine?
What was in the wagons?
They were trying to clear the ground of the stones. And I knew that if I was told that if I don't do something to get out of that commando, as they call it, then I'll be dead, because nobody could survive it. And luckily, one or two people who were already had the jobs in the administration of blocks and things, who were not any, they helped, got me out, and that's what saved me. And my father, well, he came with a transport for some 2 weeks later. And when I saw him standing after an evening sort of counting, well, you could walk a little, otherwise you can walk without permission there. I saw him and I hardly recognized him. He was looking like he looks here, because they put him into a bunker, they call it. And I also write about bunkers in my... There were certain things which, you know, you could have influence by your friends or by proper actions on your part to minimize the danger. And other things you just had to take as it happened, because if you started rebelling, you're dead. Because they just walk up to you and knock you down. So that was, and that was on the... I've got the exact dates there.
So, it was really your friends who rescued you from this work commando?
In the first place, yes. But the Germans, you see, they were no fools. The SS. They knew that people were doing that. So after a time, there came another screening, and they got me out. And they were going to put me even on a worse commando. At that time, my father managed to get, there came an order from Himmler himself that in concentration camps, because of the need for them, doctors, people who are doctors, who before were just treated like everybody else, had to be employed on the so-called Krankenbau as doctors. And that's where they shipped us. My father was put on the so-called Krankenbau.
That's a hospital.
Hospital, but it was a parody of a hospital. But it was, you didn't work very hard there, but other things happened to you. You know, Auschwitz is what I've written in my book, was because I can only afford to a book of a certain volume. Otherwise, it becomes double the whatever you have to pay.
But did you go to the Krankenbau yourself, or just your father?
I went. No, my father was first employed as a doctor. He was there. He said, well, try in the evening to simulate that you have pneumonia. Well, I knew enough about pneumonia to know what to tell him, because there was a certain Dr. Dering there who had this trial here. He was a legendary Polish doctor. Now he was serving them very well. He was stood in front of me, looked at me, and I said, what's the matter with you? You are strong. Nothing. I said, I have a fever. How do you know you have fever? He said, because I have worked in my father's surgery. My father is a doctor. And so on. And he finally allowed me to get into Krankenbau. And there you didn't have to work. But if you were there too long, they were injecting you by injection direct into the heart. There was a prisoner, he was Polish, I'm glad to say, who was doing it. And a Gestapo man. They were just putting, people were so thin that they were putting needle there and poison, I forget now what is the poison, into the heart. But a few hours and the man was dead.
Did you see it done?
I've seen that done once. But then the Gestapo man noticed that I was looking and he said, I don't know, how to. It takes a man, perhaps of a better talent for describing all these things. That's why I wrote it down. And the reason I wrote down my thing, because there was this anniversary of 50th day of 50th anniversary of freeing Auschwitz by various Soviets.
How long did you manage to stay in the Krankenbau?
I managed to stay enough to see from the top what was happening right across the road. There was this famous black wall where they were shooting. What I saw was enough to for all my lifetime to remember. But later on, my father was told that he will have to go as a doctor to a hospital which was being organized on the gypsy camp, where they originally had some 120,000 gypsies, which later grew up. They deported from all Nazi-occupied Europe and even outside Europe, where they had some. At first, they deported all gypsies. They were not guilty of anything. They were only guilty of being gypsies. Families and so on. And sector in Birkenau, which was a huge, you must have seen the photograph from the taken from up above, of these barracks. There were rows and rows of barracks and electrified wire was was between each other, and then at the front of each other was a sort of block for a stube, they called it. So they were all the time under they couldn't do anything. And there was sector 1, A, B, C, D, E, and I forget now what was it. In sector E was for gypsies. And they needed a hospital there because the gypsies were not used to the sort of life in a concentration camp because of, you know, free people traveling a lot. And there were gypsies from all over Europe. There were some fantastic people. Nothing that they have done against the Nazis.
Racially designed
for this destruction.
In what way were they fantastic?
Well, there were some musicians, some singers, because gypsies are very musical. There were some people with degrees. There were even some doctors among them. But they didn't want the doctors because they had enough already. And they kept them there for nearly 2 years we were there. And if I wanted to be with my father, I had to ask to see Dr. Mengele. You have heard about him, I suppose. He was a famous doctor. Oh, he was a very handsome and very, very, when he spoke good German, he was very nice. And I said, I would like to be a Pfleger on this. Pfleger is
an assistant.
Assistant.
A nurse?
No more, I have enough. But you speak good German, I could employ you in the records. Thank you, said to me. And then he didn't talk to me anymore, walked away because he was so. And in came a man that says, you have to move from that block to there, and you will be every day receiving people asking them what is wrong with them, and then directing them to the various doctors. And that's what I was doing. After that, somebody else got that job because it was a good job, a bad job. By pushing the right buttons. And I was told that if I want to stay on that block where my father was also, but on a different pathway, that the only way is to, if I agree to be loading every day, there were about between 20 to sometimes 40, 60 men. And you went to the lorry came, driven by a Gestapo man who was always drunk and by SS man. And you had to load to carry this. There was a sort of they dropped the thing in the flat there, and you had to arrange the corpses of children and women. And when they came, they already came from the women's camp, where predominantly were Polish women who were for resistance. And they were executed, and you could see beautiful women with big holes in them, and they shot them in the back of the
back of the head.
So if you imagine that was, but it was either staying with my father or it was doing that. If I didn't do it, somebody else would have done it. But it didn't involve any doing wrong because people were dead already. After that, I caught the fever.
Typhus?
Typhus. Everybody had to go through typhus. Typhus was standard. And I was back for about a month, 27 days, you have the highest fever there is, and then the fever drops. That's where most people die. Because the heart has been pumping madly all the time to keep circulation, and then suddenly. So I survived that, and all attention I had was a young gypsy woman who was bringing bucket of hot water, of cold water, and dabbing me on the thing. Well, luckily, having survived this, my father got fever. And the doctors were better of his head, so you have to be brave now because your father will not survive, and not at his age. Well, I went to see my father now again. He survived. There were some miracles there. No, nobody could understand how my father survived. Because at his age, most people die there. And then, of course, what? When they finished with the gypsies, Mengele was fed up with the gypsies, you see. They were a nuisance to them. He was only interested in these children who were also so special, and unusual diseases, and he was sort of having them set on a high table, and he was doing all sorts of things. He was posing Mengele as a researcher. Of course, he was as bad as all the others. And the gypsy camp was decided to use something else, to put some other people. We were marched out, all doctors and assistants, and there were lady doctors, lady assistants, because there was a woman's, all marched out into typical SS procedure. The one block where you had to be taken, that you were beaten day and night, literally, by very nasty people, prisoners. It was called the penalty company. Mengele wanted to do is he wanted to get rid of people who witnessed what he did. We all knew that. And in the morning, when the camp was asleep, at 4 o'clock, it was just dawn, we were marched out, and we had to, with a spade and a chopping thing, what we call
a mattock.
We had to dig because the Russian front was coming near, and they were building a huge, as tall as I was then. I was standing in that when it was deep enough, and I could hardly see out of it. It was so deep, and it was all in a very, the earth was full of stones, and all you had was a shovel. And I remember, it was terrible. If they noticed that you stopped working for a while, they would beat you straight away.
So you were in the Birkenau Penal Company, were you? The Straf Company?
Straf Company, they called it.
Why were you in the Punishment Company?
Because I was a witness of Mengele's so-called doctor's activity. These little children, what he was doing to them.
What was he doing to them?
Well, I mean, there were children who developed some peculiar disease which was almost unknown by that time, called Noma. And that meant that they were what, a few years old. And they used to sit them onto a high sort of table, and they used to is how the child, the other man, would open his assessment, would open his mouth, because men never wanted to see what there was a sort of growth in the mouth. And, they were brutal to be beyond belief. I can still remember it, but that sort of thing you don't forget, you see. But once you've seen it, you don't forget. And over here, I was going to be a witness at one time against Mengele. He was going to be, they hoped to catch him. He was in South America somewhere. They knew where he was. Authorities, not only British, but worldwide. And I was called to the German embassy. And I got very, very, very upset there, because there was a German army doctor who was in Auschwitz at that time, in the SS, doctor, obviously. And he was perorating, you know, with such glee. Even today, when you walk in Auschwitz, he was telling the senior official of the embassy, who was in the evening. And there was a woman, a young woman, putting it all on a
typewriter.
And I was a witness. And I had to go next day to my job in Ford. They didn't pay my anything. They just gave me a cup of coffee very bad. And that doctor annoyed me, because he was talking about Auschwitz, and it was very unusual and funny place. And I couldn't restrain myself. And I said, "Now, just 1 minute, Herr Doctor." And I turned to the senior man from the embassy. And I said, "I'm a British citizen. I've gone through that hell. Do you get me all here, all the way here, to so that I can listen to this saying? How many bones you kick when you go walk around in Auschwitz? We all know it." And he was telling it as if it was something very... Yes, I tell you, I said, Herr Doctor here doesn't stop this very unusual report. I will get up and go, and that will be in the press. So you should have seen him. He was... I was leaving that doctor, and he was a senior level officer as well. He was running after me, offering me my overcoat. It was not pleasant. And I decided that no more that sort of interviews in the German embassy. Because most of them were shocked by what they heard. But this doctor enjoyed it. It's funny. That's why I say I'm of the opinion that these things have been, similar things have been repeated in Yugoslavia now. And that is not beyond possibility that some form of change, either in Germany or on the continent in general, and there will be a repetition.
But to come back...
People who are cruel.
To come back to your own story, you're in the penal company, and you were telling me about the kind of things that happened to you there. If you can continue with that, please.
Well, that was